The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go to James chapter 4, James chapter 4. And again, thank you so much for working so very diligently to be able to make this day a day that is certainly a rememberable day. And we appreciate that so very much. And all the people, 55 receiving Christ, that's wonderful. And 20 being baptized, that's just wonderful. That's good old-fashioned work and praying and trusting the Lord very diligently. And thank you for being so kind and caring about people like you do. James chapter 4, look at verse 14. Hey, let's go ahead and stand as we normally do for a Sunday night reading. But let me read it to you. The Bible says, whereas, now think about this, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today, the privilege to be able to come and open a Bible tonight. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. We thank you for the privilege to be able to come and have a Bible that not only is the Word of God, but is the Word of God for us individually, how it speaks to our hearts, how it would change our lives if we just trust it. And Father, help us to do that tonight. And Lord, we thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I have had this conversation with my wife several times. I said, honey, do me a favor. I said, if I ever go into hospital and they say that I have cancer, don't hide it. Now, by the way, I'm not announcing tonight that I have cancer. But I said, if I ever go into hospital and they say that, you know, you have a dysfunctional heart that is about to go into a danger mode and you might not make it, I said, please let me know. Because I am a person that likes to plan things. I'm a person that likes to put things on paper. My staff guys know that. Anybody that works here in one of our educational programs, they know that as well. And I like to be able to put things down on paper and as much as I possibly can. And of course, sometimes you put things down on paper and if you don't have the cooperation fully of someone else that might be involved in a program or a decision or an event, it might not turn out exactly like you want it to turn out. But most of the time in your own life, you are like I am, and you like to be able to put things down on paper. You like to be able to plan things. You like to be able to set maybe some marginal goals and maybe some futuristic goals that you at least think that you have the possibility of being able to obtain in your personal life, your ministry life, or your business world. And so I've held that conversation with my wife several times. And I said, honey, so if I go into the hospital one day and they say, you know, your husband only has 3 days to live, please don't hide that from me. I want you to come and tell me straightforward, you got 3 days to live, and that way I can structurally plan out the next 3 days and how I would like to live it, knowing what lies before me. Because you see, the Bible does teach to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So there's no fear of death. There's no fear of where a person that is truly saved is going to go. So there's no fear of that at all. But it would be nice to be able to know exactly how to plan out the next couple of days or so. In the Bible, there is several people that you'll see noteworthy that made decisions and carried them out within 3 days. So here's the question, or yea, the statement tonight. Living your life in 3 days. Living your life in 3 days. What would it be like if you had a choice to live the entire rest of the days of your life only within the next 3 days? What would your priorities be? What would you lay down to say, these are my top priorities? These were the things that I would choose to do, number one, number two, number three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. What would be your priorities? Would it be that you would pray more? Would it be that perhaps you would read your Bible more? Would it be perhaps that you might consider other people and maybe pass out some more gospel tracts, knowing that those people are going to spend eternity somewhere and within 3 days you'll be gone? Would it be perhaps that you would spend more time making things right with your husband, making things right with your wife? Would it be, if you only had 3 days left, would it be that perhaps you would spend more time in prayer, praying for somebody that is away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Would it be perhaps that you would decide for the first time in your life that you're going to be faithful to the services, to the house of God, because one of those services happens to fall within the realm of those 3 days? Would it be perhaps that you would spend more time with your children? Would it be perhaps that you would try just for the moment that is at hand to be able to step out and do something for Christ or for family or for someone else that had you have not heard that you only have 3 days to live, you would not have done? How would it affect your relationship with other people? You think about different ones in the Bible that had 3 days, and so many times you'll read about different ones, such as Moses asked Pharaoh to let the Israelites go a 3-day journey into the wilderness, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 18. You'll see that there was 3 days of darkness in the land of Egypt during the days of the plagues, Exodus chapter 10 and verse 22. You'll see that there was 3 days of preparation as Joshua was preparing to cross the Jordan River in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 11. You'll see that there was Samson, and Samson gave the Philistines 3 days to solve the riddle. You'll see that Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem, and after 3 days he had surveyed the walls of the city. You'll see that there was Jonah. Jonah, the Bible teaches, spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. You'll see that there was Jesus that spent 3 days and 3 nights in the tomb. Jesus promised that he would rebuild the temple in 3 days, talking about the resurrection that would take place on the third day. Jesus, as a little boy, entered into the temple, and he was there asking questions, and he was there answering questions, and he did that for 3 days. The Apostle Paul was 3 days without sight. Many times you'll see that there was the bodies of those that were dead, but yet 3 days later something happened, such as the bodies of the two prophets that was to lay and will lay now in the streets of Jerusalem, and they'll lay there for 3.5 days. 3 days is mentioned as spoken of when it comes to judgment. So three is something that God mentions over and over again. Now, if that is true, tonight, let's just kind of look at life in a capsule, and let's kind of figure out what is their priorities. By the way, if you put yourself in a position that you have to make decisions like many of these. By the way, I'm not asking you to suppose something that these men and these that I mentioned just a moment ago did not also have to suppose, step out, and do in their individual life. Because everything that I mentioned here was around that time factor of 3 days. So what would it be like tonight? How would your priorities change tonight if you had 3 days? I'm not talking about reliving 3 days. I'm talking about stretching out from now. And in 3 days, what are you going to be like? I know that sometimes one sermon will change your life. Right now, they've been having I'm flying out tomorrow morning early. My driver's picking me up at 6 o'clock. That's Brother Palmore. I know he's really excited about picking me up at 6 o'clock. And I'll be boarding the plane, flying to Mississippi, and preaching a revival. And you'll have a special speaker here. One of our faculty members will be speaking here on Wednesday night. Excellent Bible study. You don't want to miss it. But I'm saying now, wait a minute, what would it be like to be able to look and say, okay, I'm going to be 3 days in this location. What can I do for the cause of Christ in 3 days? What would it be like to be able to say, I'm going to be at the job place the next 3 days, and this is what I can do in 3 days? What would it be like? Let me give you some things to consider tonight. Whatever we do, we have to be done right now. In other words, if we're going to do something, we can't wait to the end of the 3-day spectrum in order to do it. So many times we'll put things off. Let me reread that scripture to you again. The Bible says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow? So many times an adult will say, well, I tell you what, I've let my child get away with murder, and I'm going to start disciplining them later. So many times, here's what we do. I know there's not a good relationship with so-and-so, and I'm going to change that when I get to it. So many times, here's what we say. Well, I tell you what, I've not been waking up on time, and it's sort of like you make New Year's resolutions, and here's what I'm going to do. Starting January 1, now I'm not going to start it, and I know some people think this way, but I'm not going to start it until January 1, because after all, January is the fresh time and the newest time to start something bright and to accomplish it. No, what about today? Because you see, God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to start serving Jesus Christ when I'm 52 and a half. I'm going to start serving Jesus Christ when I'm 62 and take early retirement. I'm going to start serving Jesus Christ when I'm 65 and can take a full portion of my gained retirement. Well, I'm going to start serving Jesus Christ when I'm 62. That way I can receive greater, or 72. That way I can receive the greater benefits of the Social Security program, and I'll be able to reap all the coupons. No, what about today? What about now? What about stepping out and obeying God? What about putting God in the forefront and just saying that I believe that God deserves to be first and putting Him first this very day? By the way, your children watch how you live today. They're not waiting to watch how you live tomorrow. Your wife is watching you and will follow you because you're the head of the home. And the direction that you do lead, my dear friend, is the direction that she will follow. May I tell you that you are the one that God is expecting to rise to the cause of stepping out. And whatever you do, whatever we have to do, we're supposed to do it now. Why? Because you don't have a promissory note of tomorrow. You don't know what is going to happen. So spend time with the wife today. Spend time with the husband today. Spend time with the children today. Spend time with your God today. Spend time with others today. And just decide that whatever you've got to do, don't put it off till tomorrow, because you don't have a promissory note that tomorrow will ever come. How many people has ever received that which is the bad news, that they do have cancer? They do have a dysfunctional heart. They do have a disease that is primarily attacking the main organs, and they don't have long to live. Now, can I tell you tonight, don't wait until that takes place in your life to be able to put Christ first in your life. Don't waste the time. Decide that He is the important one. Money is not the important thing. Having a nice house or a nice car to drive, they are not the most important things. The most important things is pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. Take the seed that you have and plant it in the field. Why? Because harvest time will come later. Decide that you want to help people and love people and encourage people and strengthen people. Why? Because all we have right now is now. Wouldn't it be a shame if the fireman thought, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go in there and put out the fire. I'm going to wait until I feel like it. Wouldn't that be a shame? By the way, most men in here expect your husband, or most men in here expect your wife to obey like this. Hello, like this. Most mothers in here expect the children to obey like this. Then pray tell me tonight, why would we not expect God to expect of us to obey like this? See, we understand this, that you've only got one life, and so use what you can to obey God today. Listen to this, not only that, but whatever we can do, we ought to do for the people around us. Well, I wish I had a different friend. Yes, but you don't. Well, I wish I had a different Sunday school teacher. Yes, but you don't. Well, I wish I had a different preacher. Yes, but you don't. Well, I just wish I had different deacons, but you don't. Well, I wish I had a different bus captain. Maybe I ought to have the choice like we give people in Sunday school. Go to this one, and if you don't like it, go to this one. If you don't like it, go. That's what I want to do. I want to work under a bus captain. If I like him, I'll stay. If I don't, I'm going to switch buses every week of the world. But that's not a choice. You understand that you only have the people around you. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. So first consider the lost. Consider the neighbor that's next to you. And by the way, we have a great soul winning church. It's very evident of that. Amen. We have new Christians that are coming out soul winning. That's wonderful. I mean, if you do the percentage, we average about, I guess, 325 or so on a Sunday night. And yet you have 210 people showing up for soul winning. I would dare say that's probably above the nation's percentage. That means there's a lot of people in here that have a soul winner's heart. There's a lot of people in here that have a desire to see somebody come to know Christ as Savior. Well, don't lose that desire. You keep that desire. There's lost people all around you. No matter where you go, you're going to come across somebody that's lost. Go down to that gospel track rack or that gospel spiritual ammo rack, whatever you want to call it. Get yourself a gospel tract, put it in that, which is the bills that you mail out. If you do it the old-fashioned way, where you mail them out, give it to the person working the register, give it to the person that's sitting next to you inside of a restaurant, give it to the person you're walking beside. Don't let your soul-winning zeal die. I'm saying that right now we have people around us. You might not have all the people around you tomorrow, but I'm telling you something, friend. You've got people around you right now. When you go to a gas station, they're around you. When you go to the grocery store, they're around you. When you go home at night, they're around you. When you walk across the park, they're around you. You cannot escape people. They're everywhere. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying right now we have people around us. Those are lost people. But not only that, we have saved people around us. We have people that are believers. Hey, what would be wrong with encouraging somebody that is saved? What would be wrong with that? Sad verse you find over in the book of Ecclesiastes where the Bible talks about, woe to him that walketh alone, for he hath not another to lift him up. It's a sad thing when you see Christians trying to carry the weight of the world when the Bible says you're supposed to bear one another's burdens. Now, it didn't say you're supposed to take them from them. When it uses the word bear, it's talking about helping. They don't need to rely on you, friend. They need to rely on the Lord. God gave them their burdens for them to bear. But you ought to help them. When the Bible says to take up your cross and follow him, it's not talking about taking up your cross and somebody else's cross. But it sure would be encouraging to encourage somebody that is bearing a cross. Sure would be Christian-like to pat somebody on the back and say, hey, just want you to know, I believe you can make it. I don't know what all is going on inside of you, but I know this. I love you. I'm praying for you. I'll encourage you. I'll try and help you. But somewhere along the line, you're going to have to bear up underneath that cross. Now, by the way, listen to me. Here's what we do understand. We understand there's people all around us. People have burdens. Hello? People sometimes get poochy lip disease. Bottom lip sagging between their two big toes, and they have trouble walking a straight line. It's true. Sometimes people get down. Now, what do? You don't kick the brother. Hello? Boy, I've got dear preacher friends, and I love them. And boy, many times during the week, as I'm coming into work, they know that I've got that free drive time, and I'll get a phone call, and I'll see, okay, so-and-so is calling me, and I'll take time to try to encourage them. You know why? Because everybody needs somebody to encourage them. I think Dr. Howell said it many years ago, be nice to everyone because everyone's having a hard time. So encourage them. By the way, you can tell, you remember, the Lord comes walking, if you would please, in the garden, and he looks over at that which is Cain, and he says, why has thy countenance fallen. You can tell when somebody's countenance falls. You can tell all of a sudden when the mood, disposition changes. So what do you do with that? Here's what you do. Realize that God has put them in your life for you to do your best to be able to love and to be able to encourage. By the way, not just those type of people, but types of people that's always, have you ever seen those? Yeah, you walk up to them, how you doing? I'm doing fine. God loves me. God loves you. God loves everyone. Hello? By the way, the Bible says that a merry heart worketh good like a medicine. But even people that have the smiles because maybe they were brought up in a happy environment, even sometimes they hurt on the inside. I've seen people hopping down the hallway smiling. I mean, they're just happy-go-lucky. They're just cheerful as all get out. But then all of a sudden, you find them sitting in a corner someplace, and they're crying and they're bawling and they're having a hard time. Hello? I'm saying this. We're a church family, and as a church family, we need to understand we have a responsibility to do what we're supposed to do now, but also do what we're supposed to do with even people around us. The lost people, the saved people, those that are in church, those that's out of church, those that love God, those that are having a hard time understanding God. Statement number three. Then we're supposed to, if you only got 3 days, think about it. Understand that you're in the place where God wants you now. Don't always be looking for a window of exit because you'll never do what God wants you to do here. While you're here, be here. So I hope to graduate from Bible college one day and be gone. But you're not gone yet. So while you're here, be here. Can I tell you, the grass always looks greener on the other side. Billy Sunday said, normally it's because it's artificial turf. So you said, well, I wish we had a perfect church. You're right. I wish I would have perfect people that would make a perfect church. But because I don't have perfect people, we don't have a perfect church. So until you get perfect, there's no hope. So the reason we have the church that we have, God bless you, it's because you're here. But as long as you're here, then why don't you decide to be here? Hey, if you're going to be in church, be in church. God said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man, I'm so glad I don't pastor in a funeral home. It'd be hard to get those dead people to serve God. I'm so glad I pastor people that are saved. I'm so glad I pastor people that have been regenerated. I'm so glad I pastor people that want to go forward and do something for the Almighty God. But don't let that die. By the way, if you sit around some, don't get wrong, you're visiting tonight, God bless you, we love you, we're glad you're here. We are not Baptist. We are not Pentecostal. We are old-fashioned Baptists that believe the book. But I want to help you out a little bit. Baptists were shouting and believing the book 1,600 years before there ever was a Pentecostal. I cannot tell you tonight that when the Bible talks about how you and I are supposed to believe the book, we ought to believe the book. I mean, there's no excuse. Those of you that have been blood washed and you came up under the right type of preaching, you know what the type of preaching is that's right. Well, don't sit there like a bump on a log. Don't be in a church that all of a sudden, oh, I tell you what, it's dying. Well, don't let it die. Here's your challenge. You ready? Here we go. Don't let it die in your pew. You can just be in charge of your pew. Let me walk down to where you are and find out how alive your pew is. Because if it's dying in your pew, it's going to die in somebody else's pew. Now, I'm not talking about you got to shout every time the preacher preaches. There was death in that pew, and so Mrs. Hernandez decided to move over. Sneaky, but I saw it. She wanted to be beside her spiritual husband that knows how to lead people to Christ. Now watch this, if you will. We understand this, that there's a place, and where God has you, you decide that you're going to hunker down. Amen. God has you here. You say, but it's not perfect. Hey, we covered that already. It's not going to be perfect. You're not going to find a perfect church. You're not going to find a perfect individual. Why don't you just give a little bit of grace and just decide, love people for who God gave as people, and enjoy serving Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now don't get mad at me tonight, I love you. But are you acting like a foolish person? But the Bible says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you understand what happened today was evidence of the power of God? You say, well, it's because I did my part, and we thank God for you, and we give you homage. But let it be known tonight, if it was not for God's power, you would not have gotten out of bed. If it was not for God working in your life this morning, you would not have been able to think clearly. If it was not for God working through you this day, I can tell you for sure that people would not have showed up. It takes people that have surrendered their life to God, and it takes people that decide they're going to give all that they have to God, and that's the type of people that God wants. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. The Bible says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world, by wisdom, knew not God. They just can't figure it out. Why in the world would you get excited about coming to church? Well, it might be because we know the wisdom of God, not the wisdom whereby the world perceives God. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. There it is again. Listen to what it says, to save them that believe. Now, I'm going to help you, but I want you to listen to me. You're sitting there and the preacher gets up preaching, you begin to snare. Your nose pointed a little bit upward at something the preacher says or something the preacher preaches. And your wife picks up on that, it's going to damage her spirit. If your kids pick up on that, it's going to damage their spirit, and it might be irreparable. Do you understand tonight? You don't have a perfect preacher. But you have a preacher that preaches a perfect book. So when you snare at the preacher that preaches the perfect book, your wife might not be smart enough to figure it out that you're just snaring because you don't like the personality of the guy. Your children might not figure it out. Hello. Verse 22, the Bible says in the same chapter, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Verse 23, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. That's how they view it. Verse 24, but unto them which are called, that's you and I, both Jews and Greeks, listen to it now, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness, verse 25, of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So the Bible teaches that God at his lowest state is higher than man at his highest peak. Do we understand tonight that your wisdom will never, my wisdom will never, our wisdom will never match up to the wisdom of God? That's why when we open the Bible tonight, God can work with us. But we understand that God has called us. God wants us to do what we're supposed to do now. God has put people around you right now. You're surrounded by the very people. Get a load of this. You're surrounded by the very people right now in your life that God has chosen to put in your life. What are you going to do with that? I tell you what, I'm going to run from it and go somewhere else. You better be sure. You listen to me tonight. And so here's what we have. what we're supposed to do, it would be good to start on it now. Understand that we have the people that God has chosen to be around us right now. Understand that you're in the place tonight, not by accident, but God has you in the place that you are right now. Let me give you this and I'm done. Then, what do we do with the people in the place that God has for us right now? You ever come across somebody and their personality is just a little bit different than what your personality is? And when you leave there, you have either been affected for good or effected. Come on. I've been that way in airports. I have been. I'll go someplace and I'll sit down in a chair, and I'll notice one lady, and boy, she's just having a hard time with her kids. She's embarrassed. Kids are running and climbing all over everything, and you can tell she's turning all sorts of shades of color. And boy, you know, she begins to, come here, come sit down. And that kid will sit down for a minute and then get up and take, you know, and he's getting more and more embarrassed. Okay, now watch this, Hibua. I've been around people that when they come into the airport, they sit there and they read their book, and to be honest with you, nothing bothers them at all. If somebody don't tap them and let them know your plane is now leaving, you better start running down to catch it. They'd miss their plane. I've been around people that enjoy drinking their Dr. Peppers. Or they'll drink something else, and they'll drink it for breakfast, lunch, supper, and midnight snack. But they enjoy it. I've been around people who love telling jokes. I didn't say they were funny, I said they love telling jokes. I've been around people that attempt to tell jokes. I've been around people that, honestly, they're safe and they stay far away from jokes. I've been around people that smile a lot, people that don't. Hello? Do we understand that God has allowed you to have people in your life that you have right now? The person you're sitting beside, the person you're married to, the children you have, your father-in-law, your mother-in-law, your other in-laws, your grandpa, your grandma. What a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. My wife and I have been married 30 years, and we were out there with Brother Day, and my wife was talking to Mrs. Day and said, hey, my wife asked this, can I climb up in that truck? And so they said, well, sure. So my wife climbs up into the monster truck. I was just praying she couldn't find the keys. But she climbed up in the monster truck, and boy, we're taking pictures. And so I said, well, that's a good idea, honey. So I said to Brother Day, I said, can I do that too? And by the way, we've always helped each other in many ways. We've encouraged each other. We've had fun with each other. 30 years worth. The Spanish department had a wonderful meal today and was able to carry that out to those that was in charge of the monster truck and able to feed them and was gracious and kind with their giving. Can I tell you, look, you can have an influence on people. Let me give you this. Here it is. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37 and 38. Here's what it says. It says, then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Now watch this. The harvest truly is plenteous. That's the people around you, if you will. But the labors are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into his harvest field. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? We just had a great day. But it's when we have a great day, many times it's when the devil will move in. Now, I remind you, Jesus had just completed fasting for many days. That's when the devil tempted. Sometimes when we have a great day, then the devil wants to come in and he wants to wreak havoc inside of your life, inside of your family's life. And all I'm trying to do tonight is just encourage you. While you're recuperating and doing a great job and had a fantastic day here today, but while you're recuperating from putting extra hours in soul winning, and while you're recuperating from giving everything that you've had over these past couple of weeks that we've had the campaign, let me encourage you by the challenge of thinking about 3 days. Just 3 days. Because if you could do some things in 3 days and be able to decide that, hey, I'm going to try to be the husband I ought to be. During these next 3 days, I'm not going to be cranky. I'm not going to... By the way, your wife would thank God for that. If you could decide for the next 3 days that as a wife that you're going to be one of the most loving, sweet, kind, submissive, beyond compare wife than you've ever been before. He would pray, dear God, give me 3 more days. But in all sincerity, many times we do things by accident and yet not on purpose. I like what old Spurgeon did. He said, I would never write a word that I would not want 1,000 people to read. Hello? I would never write a word that I would not want 1,000 people to read. Can I tell you that the way you are will be read? The Bible talks about how Paul said that we are his epistle written and read by all men. What you put on your Instagram page reflects who you really are. What you put on your Twitter reflects who you are. On your Instagram page, when you put pictures of you and you're not dressed proper, it reflects who you really are. On your Instagram page, when you put pictures of other people that are your heroes, that are not doing what they should be doing, all you're doing is say, look at me. And sometimes we don't think of that, do we? But there is a world out there that's reading you tonight. May I remind you about Brother Leader. Brother Leader, of course, came from New Mexico, and he said this. He said, here's what I did. He said, I got on that which was the social media. And he said, I followed your teenagers for a whole year to see who they were following before I made a decision that I would bring my teenagers to your church to be around your teenagers, because I didn't want your teenagers to destroy my teenagers. People watch you. You have to be careful. You say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm gonna quote this person, and this person is he's a heathen, and he's doing this, this, and that. Hey, be careful of your testimony, because people are watching you. So be careful. So I tell you what, I'm playing this game and it's only got one bad word in it. It's okay, preacher. No, if it's got one bad word in it, it's not okay. Well, preacher, I'm playing this game and it plays bad music, but it's okay. No, it's not okay. I'm saying don't do things that's going to contaminate your soul. You be that Christian that walks with God and obeys God and steps out and do what you're supposed to do. I'm saying that here we only have a short amount of time together. Hello. Your life is going to pass by as that which is a vapor that's here for a while. And then it vanisheth away, and it's gone. How are people going to remember you? How are they going to remember you? See, we ought to decide that here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take the next, at least take the challenge of three. I'm going to take the next 3 days, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put Christ first in my family life, my business life, my social life, my church life, my friendship life. Just put him first. Because after having such a day, whether you were an integral part of it or not, since you're associated with the place that saw so many people saved and so many lives changed, the devil may just wreak havoc in your life. So what you do is you say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set myself like a flint to serve Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.